Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, Week 7 NFL podcast. This is your host, The Whale, joined as always by the spectacular co-host from Minnesota, Andy, how you doing on this Week 7 Wednesday?
It's just nice to hear from you, I guess. We didn't do Monday. We all got detained at the border. There were some problems. He's finally out of the clink here.
I'm traveling this week. I'm up in America's top hat, up in Canada, and my internet connection is disaster. So this might be a fun and difficult pod to get recorded, but you can't keep me away from the NFL. You can't keep me from handicapping this sport, and I'm fired up. Week six went as well as I could have hoped. At one point, I thought all my morning picks were going to come through winners, but ended up losing a couple kind of in the fourth quarter there. But finished the day 6-3, which is pretty good, and sitting pretty here. Nice little 5-6% return on the season so far through 6 weeks. So I'm jamming, man, and I'm excited about week seven. It's a tough card. It's a tough week to find value in the dogs, as far as I could tell you. As I put my card together, I usually try to have a little bit of balance. I like a little bit of, you know, heavy dogs, some light dogs, some light favorites, and kind of mix it up, overs and unders. But for whatever reason, this week I ended up with a card that looks a little tilted. I'm backing a lot of the favorites. I've got a handful of overs with a couple unders in play.
And as a bonus, because you're up there, we will be going over the Blue Bombers Argonaut Saturday tilt.
Dude.
That is a real thing. I actually just pulled up the schedule. I don't love anything in the Tiger Cats Alouettes game, so I think we'll probably take a look at the Saturday slate.
There was a huge segment.
I do bet CFL once in a while, but we're not going to go there.
This has been a rough week with the travel and the start NBA. They moved the start of NBA up early. I still got a bunch of baseball in play. This has been a tough week. It's getting to the point where I got to decide if I want to, you know, just quit my job and focus on this full time or what, because it's tough balancing both right now. But that said, we're here to bring you a high quality pod, talk through some of these NFL plays. It's going to be a great week, and let's get right into it, my man. Thursday, we got an interesting AFC West tilt between the Kansas City Chiefs, who are coming off their first loss of the season, and the Oakland Raiders, who are, you know, they're adrift at sea right now. I really wanted the Chiefs to pull out some magic and get that win on Sunday, man. I thought that they were going to figure out a way in that fourth quarter. It looked like the score was setting up just right. If they could have gotten a couple touchdowns there at the end, they could have pulled out another miracle W. What did you think of the Chiefs game against the Steelers?
Yeah, that's the Chiefs. I guess somebody said this, and maybe they're right. It seems like sometimes the Chiefs play to their competition.
That's interesting.
Where they go play a team well below them, and they just don't look good. And then they're not looking good. Maybe I'll fade them against a 5-0 team, and then they play. It's not even like they played that great. They just really stepped up on defense.
Yeah, their defense. Got enough done. Right. The Steelers' defense was the most impressive unit that I saw of any unit on Sunday. Yeah, I would say so. Because the Saints offense made some mistakes and tried to let the Lions back into that game, but the Steelers defense put it in four quarters, amazing performance, and the Chiefs still had a chance to win that game, amazingly. But lo and behold, here we sit now. The Chiefs, no undefeated teams in the NFL. The Chiefs get this win against the Raiders, and they are looking really good in the AFC West race. It's at Oakland. The Chiefs traditionally play pretty well there. The home field advantage isn't great in Oakland. The Raiders right now have massive holes on defense. They're not getting difference-making play out of Khalil Mack this year, and that's largely, I think it's largely because he's kind of the only guy you have to stop. Yeah, if you kind of only have to stop Mack, and if you can, then no one else can do anything.
Almost like how teams key in on like a running back. Let's stop. They're doing that with a defense.
Yeah.
Just run away from him and not throw the ball anywhere near him and just take him out of the equation, because you can dictate that as an offense. And the rest of the defense is not stepping up. Were they at home last week?
Yeah, they were home versus the Chargers.
That was a bad, especially that second half. They looked rough. I wanted to play them in a bounce back after I watched that. Then I looked at the schedule after the Chiefs had lost and said, wow, we got double bounce back. But
yeah, the Raiders have been favored at home now 2 weeks in a row and lost both outright. Now this is their 3-point dogs. This is a little bit of a trap I'm walking into here. I'm backing the Chiefs here. I think the Chiefs get this done comfortably because I love the way that they match up with the Raiders. I love what they can do in terms of getting Carr flustered. Carr's not having a good season. Amari Cooper is completely missing in action. Carr, if he's not getting support in the running game, his offensive line is not playing to the level they played last year. The Chiefs recognized in this Thursday Night Football game last year that if they can just kind of fluster Carr a little bit, you can drastically affect his performance. And so for this reason, I'm looking for the Chiefs to pick up a big road win, bounce back from their loss, and the Raiders lose their third straight at home. And we're going to start asking questions about Jack Del Rio's his future as a coach there pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, and all the nerds are just sitting there folding their hands together and putting them behind their head, just laughing because of all the Pythagorean. Yeah, we should find that. That just makes me think of that. That was it, the Yankees, or who was the announcer that just flipped out about Pythagorean?
Yes.
I'm just giggling about
yes.
that. He's in New York. Oh no, it was the Giants.
That was so great.
But yeah, that guy just flipping up. But
the Pythag, the Pythags. They got the Pythags said they're 2-3.
Yeah. Very much outperformed what they should have done last year. They were a bit of a pretender, even though they do have a good quarterback and several good receivers. And boy, the way Lynch was looking in the preseason, it was going to be, this super team. And they're kind of coming back down to earth to where they probably should have been last year. It's a decent team. I guess they're 2-4 right now.
Yeah.
This is a very important game for them. That's where I worry a little bit about the Chiefs. I don't have anything I love in this game.
I don't either.
Chiefs, just because I like a bounce back on a better team with a better coach.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely I might play something tomorrow. God, it's tomorrow already.
It's tomorrow.
The week is just flying by.
Yeah, so I'm laying the 3 on the Chiefs, and it doesn't feel great. This is kind of the Raiders Super Bowl, for lack of a better term, because if they lose this game, their season's over. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are sitting fat and happy. And a lot of times when you have an opening to the season like the Chiefs had, 5 big wins, and then you have, you get upset by a team like they did last week against the Steelers, sometimes there's another little bit of a swoon. Kind of a mid-season swoon, so to speak. But I'm still really believe in this Chiefs team. I still really love how they can get after you on all three, all three phases of the game. Their special teams could get some touchdowns against the Raiders. I could see some defensive touchdowns against the Raiders. I'm still kind of waiting for Marcus Peters to kind of have a breakout game and be, make kind of some key picks and some key runbacks here. And maybe this is the game with a Derek Carr who's playing well below his peak level after getting that fat contract to play for the Raiders.
This was a team that really did score some defensive touchdowns over the last couple of years, and that has not been the case, I don't think. I'm going to have to look at the stats there. It'd be nice to see the defense step up a little and really harass Carr.
Yeah,
I guess you might have talked me into a Chiefs play. We'll see what comes tomorrow night.
Yeah, man. So the Titans-Browns is the first game on the Vegas rotations for Sunday, even though there's an earlier game that we'll get to in a sec. I'm staying clear of this one. I think the Titans probably work the Browns, even though it's in Cleveland. But, you know, I don't feel like laying blatant points on the Titans with Mike Mularkey and Marcus Mariota is a little bit uneven, still coming back off that injury. That was a pretty miraculous cover they got against the Colts on Monday night. The Colts, man, boy, circle them in this Jags Colts game next for a second half fade. Holy God, are they bad out of halftime? I don't know what Pagano is telling his team at halftime. It's like they take everything that's working and everything that's good, and they throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, it's like he's leaning over after he does that. It's like I just picture him leaning over to an assistant coach and whispering, "I'm trying to get fired."
Yeah, right. It's like
they're doing the opposite of what was working the whole game, especially in the fourth quarters. I'm sure people have seen tweets and reports on just how inept they've been in the fourth quarters this year. It's like the opposite of what the Lions were for the last 2 years.
It's amazing.
They're just magically losing games badly.
Yeah, yes. And so I don't have a pregame play on this Jaguars-Colts. I think I don't love the Jags on the road, but here we are. They beat the Texans on the road. Maybe their defense bounces back a little bit from a pretty lackluster performance against the Rams at home last week. So look for, if this is a close game at half, I'll be grabbing some Jaguars second half on this one, just based on how bad the Colts have been to this point in the second half. Basically making the worst halftime adjustments of any team in the league by far, and it's not really close.
Some rough beats, man. Too, if you were smart and you grabbed, yeah, like the +8 on the Colts.
Oh God, good
you
Lord.
You love that, and you know, +7, +7.5, +8. If you had that, you know, prayers up.
Yes.
He was probably out of bounds too.
Yeah, he was. That was really, really rough. So I got an angle on this Bengals Steelers game. This should be a good one. Bengals coming off their bye. They're going at the Steelers, who just basically, you know, had everybody dig deep and play for your season kind of performance against the Chiefs on Sunday. I'm going under here. The Bengals defense looks like a real deal unit to me. Geno Atkins is playing back at all pro level this season. And I think the Bengals are going to be able to do what the Chiefs could not do, which is put a pin in Le'Veon Bell. Ben Roethlisberger still not looking like a competent quarterback in any way, shape, or form. I'm pissed that I was traveling this weekend, because I really wanted to grab the Bengals. That's like, say, 6.5 when this thing opened. That was a terrible number. I don't know why 6.5 is just way too many in a game that should be, you know, field goal game either way. I missed it. It's down into 5. Yeah, I missed it. So I'm not going to be on the Bengals at 5.5 or 5 or anything like that. I wanted 6.5 and I didn't get it. So instead, I think a little bit more edge exists on the under here. I don't think that this, I don't see this game breaking 40. Right now the under sits at 41.5. So even at like a 21-20 kind of game, you're still under. But I think the likelihood that either one of these two defenses really continues to put up outstanding, statistical performance and keeps the other team well under 20 is really where I think this plays out. And, this kind of feels like a 17-14 or lots of field goal type of game, really. And hopefully we get a little weather too. I'm going to be keeping my eye on the weather in Pittsburgh on Sunday, because we're getting to the time of year where weather starts to make a big difference in the total points scored. If you got like a heavy duty wind kind of game, and we're due for one of those. So keep your eye on the weather this weekend. And hopefully we get a little help from the weather gods, from the wind gods.
Yeah, that made my card too. That's the only total I have right now is the under there. I like what you said there with that number being a little too big. Division game, even though it is in Pittsburgh, I've liked what Cincinnati's defense has done even if some of the results early on didn't show it. And there was a suspension too. They didn't, you know, they didn't have one of their star players for what, 3 weeks he was out.
Yeah, Vontaze Burfict.
I really think that they're probably smart enough to know they just have to key in on Bell because Ben hasn't looked great. So
yeah, look
if
out.
If that's the game plan, I think they can limit. They can keep Pittsburgh under 20.
Yeah.
And I don't see them scoring. You know, maybe not at all. Who knows? They've been real sketchy on offense at some point. So I don't see either team cracking 20. This is definitely an under. Even if it got down to 41 or 40 and a half, I'd play it.
Yeah, I'd look out for a Vontaze Burfict ejection prop. He has a tendency to bring out his best against the Steelers, so that'll be fun to watch. Let's move down to Ravens Vikings. This one's a little interesting. It's out of conference. We don't see these two teams play very often. The Ravens are anyone's guess if the Ravens are good. They played an awful, awful game against the Bears, losing at home to a rookie quarterback in overtime. And being in the position where they were down like 10 points at times in the second half, that was a really, really awful performance from the Ravens. I don't think that this is a good team. I think they have a fine defense, but the Vikings, on the other hand, to me, they are back in the driver's seat in the NFC North with Aaron Rodgers out. I think that Case Keenum is putting together a heck of a resume for getting a starting job somewhere in the NFL next year, which is crazy to say right now. But he's playing fine football, and
some of his. He's looking really mobile. He's making.
Yeah.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that will take the ball, tuck it in, and run, but it seems like he's doing it at the right times. Like, there are some quarterbacks that make some just piss poor decisions about when to take off. He seems to really, like, every time he runs with the ball, it's a 15 yard gain where he's really seeing the field when there's just a big open area for him to go get a first down. And when you extend drives through legs, that's just an added bonus. I was looking at some of the stats. It's kind of goofy. Howard ran for 167 yards, but they gave him the ball. And granted, there was overtime, but he had 36 attempts. Shit. That's a lot of rushes. I could see McKinnon having a nice day.
Yep.
I doubt he'll get 36 rushes. So they will split the ball up there. I don't know the status of Diggs right now.
I'm
Googling that. This might be a.
It may not matter though. Thielen is playing Thielen is playing all pro level. He really is. And the Vikings are a hot team right now, and they're gonna win.
They did get the tight end. They got Rudolph.
They got him involved.
He was kind of a no show for a couple games, and they were forced to use him.
Yep. Anyway, seeing this at 5.5 was enticing to me. This is, Vikings at home against a Ravens team that looks totally lost on offense against a Vikings defense that's getting better by the week. And, Vikings are just – they're on the upswing here, and I think they really seize control of the NFC North even more so with a big win at home, solidifying, their status. And the Ravens continue a weird season. if the Ravens happen to zig this week when I'm expecting them to zag, then I wouldn't be surprised.
They might just be a stay away.
They might just be a stay away.
Blow Minnesota out, we might just not bet on them the rest of the year.
That's correct.
Who knows?
That's correct. So let's talk about maybe my favorite play of the week and another game that, for now at least, I only have one unit on this. But I could see, if things go right, I could see adding a second unit on this. And this is
Max play alert.
This this is Miami Dolphins. Okay, so first of all, I want to preface this a little bit with there's a couple spots this week where we got revenge on the card, and this is the first one, one of three, where. A team went on the road earlier in the season in division and lost. Here, and in this case, we're talking about the Dolphins, who had just had brutal travel, wipe them out. They go on the road at the Jets and just lay a stink bomb of a game, and the Jets basically shut them out. Now, flip the script on them. The Jets have had they've been playing their hearts out. They've been winning games they shouldn't necessarily have won. They amazingly should have beaten the Patriots. That goal line fumble was unreal. I was a huge beneficiary of that because I had the under come home in that game when it really had zero business getting under. But that's what, you know, that's how it goes with the Jets. And I think the Dolphins get their revenge this week. I like that Ajay is kind of finding his form. The Dolphins' upset of the Falcons last week was eye-opening. I had no idea they had that in them. The second half, they were shut out 17-0 in the first half, and they came back to win 20-17 with 20 unanswered in the second half. The Falcons seem to have a problem closing teams out. Go figure. The Dolphins, I think, now at home, they've kind of made it through the nastiest part of their schedule. They got revenge on their minds, and I think they just absolutely walloped the Jets, who,
they did have just a brutal travel schedule to start the year, and that may have kind of affected not only how they, you know, how they played, but how people perceived them.
Yeah. The line,
I definitely think that defense is night and day different.
Yeah.
Compared to a couple weeks ago. I think they could absolutely impose their will against, I mean, the Jets. Start naming offensive players for the Jets. And the
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah, that's pretty much, he's on my fantasy squad, so that fumble sucked.
Yeah, Jermaine Kearse.
The total here is at 38.5. So, I mean, two pretty good defenses. A low total, a small favorite at home.
Yeah, I see a game.
Cutler looks a lot better. I wanted to hit this under. I thought it might be a little closer to like 41, but I think the defenses are already reflected in the line. I'm staying away from that. I agree with you on the Dolphins. I love the 3. I think they're in a good spot to start winning a few games.
Yeah, I think you see pretty much an exact flip of the script between the first game and this game, and Dolphins win something like 20-7 or 24-7, something like that.
Yeah, you gotta think back to the preseason when the Dolphins were a very trendy pick to, you know, not win the division, obviously, but
snag
a
wild card. Yeah.
Win 10 games, maybe 11, snag a wild card behind the Patriots. It's the same team, just with the different quarterback. It's not like Tannehill was Joe Montana. Cutler, it might have just taken time. I heard somebody say this, like, essentially Cutler played his preseason now.
Yeah, good point.
And, I mean, that makes sense. Like, he's been with the team as long as somebody who would have played the whole camp and preseason with now. So he might be settling in a little. I definitely think I'm backing Miami here.
Yep, Dolphins.
-3.
Dolphins are a bye next couple weeks. Now that they're home. Now that they're kind of getting their act together, I like them as a buy. I sold the hook here. I went up to 3.5. I think they win comfortably, and I wanted a little bit lower juice. So I'm actually at Miami -3.5 at +100, and I will likely be putting more down on this as we get closer to the weekend because this is maybe my favorite play of the week. The Bills Bucks. I got nothing. Bills coming off a bye. Bucks, absolutely anyone's guess what's going on with that team. I'm capping in this at 21, 24, 22, 24, something like that. It's probably an underplay because the Bills' defense is as good as advertised and their offense seems to still be figuring things out, but good luck playing an under against the Bucks, man. The Bucks are just – they have too many holes on their, in key places around their squad, and I could see this going a lot of ways, so I'm staying away. Do you skip that one as well? Is there even a lineup on that?
There's not a line at a lot of places just because of the whole. I don't think there's a line anywhere, honestly. I've seen like -3.
Yeah. Right.
Put up some places, but I haven't seen it in a book I use. So
that line seems too short.
I think they're waiting on. He didn't throw today.
Oh, wow. Listen, Because minus three to me suggests Winston would play, because that implies that these teams are about even, even though Bills are coming off a bye, which is surprising. I don't know what's going on with the Buccaneers.
He didn't throw in practice today Wednesday, so it's still, you know, it's still only Wednesday. We'll see, but if he doesn't play, the Bills are going to trickle their way into one of my money line parlays, I think.
I dig it.
Pop up another 3 points, I suppose.
So the Panthers, Bears is an interesting one. Panthers get a little bit extra rest after playing on Thursday night. They lost to the Eagles, even though they still maintain a lead in the NFC South. If the Panthers are for real, this is the kind of game where they just beat the shit out of the Bears. The Bears play better at home. We've known that, but amazingly went on the road and beat the Ravens last week. So they have they're a frisky team. Panthers, I'm capping this one at 24-20. And I could see this actually being even a little bit more high scoring. You got John Fox playing against his old team. Maybe he wants to, you know, he's been pulling out the tricks, or at least his assistant coaches have been pulling out some pretty fancy play calling here. So I think we see the Bears score some points. I think the Panthers can score pretty easily on this Bears defense. And so I was surprised to see the total only at 40.5, and I grabbed the over here. And I really like this play. The Panthers are a dead over team to me. And even though the Bears, like you said, they're running the ball 36 times a game with Jordan Howard. The Panthers are an over team because they give up yards in chunks, they gain yards in chunks. Do we know if Luke Kuechly is going to play?
I don't know that right now.
I would guess he's not.
It's still early in the week, but man, I watched that hit like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Like I don't, you know, I love him as a player. I don't want to see anyone get hurt outside of. Honestly, I didn't mind the Aaron Rodgers injury. That just helps me so much in the division.
Right.
But, no, that sucked. But man, he got just laid out. That was a big man that hit him, and he didn't see it coming. That sucked for him. It sucks because he's had so many concussions.
Yep.
He's in protocol still. I guess we'll see. He didn't drill yesterday on Tuesday. We'll know a lot more about that Friday. I like what you're saying, and I think, especially if I see like a 20.5, I'm gonna pounce on that first half over.
Ooh, nice.
I'm not playing it right now, especially since we don't have some lines on halves on a Wednesday. But yeah, if it's 20.5, that first half over is gonna be on my card for sure. I think, like you said, Fox being the old coach for Carolina, he's gonna come out and definitely not only try to take advantage of that right away, and you know, maybe a little trickery and get to the board, but they know if they fall behind big, that's going to be a problem, having to have Trubisky throw 40 times.
Yeah.
They want to be able to use that run game. So they need to score right away. They need to get a touchdown on the board, not get down. So I definitely like over, I mean, just based on the 40.5, I'm going to assume over 20 first half.
That's probably what you'll see. Yeah, I agree. The last of the morning games, and let's take a quick break. We got Saints-Packers. You mentioned Packers lose Aaron Rodgers. That, boy.
Real shame.
I about spit out my coffee the other morning when you were telling me you wish that the broken collarbone had pierced his heart. I was like, man, no.
You should see the text. Like, just being in Minnesota. Oh, my God. The hate we have for him.
Oh my God.
Just vitriol. Oh man, the one guy in a league where there's a decent entry fee in this league, and I had someone text me before we knew the extent of the injury. He's like, he's my starting quarterback in fantasy, and I still hope his collarbone is broken. And I want to say, there was a few of those. There were some good memes. You know, you feel for anyone who gets injured. That sucks for the Packers.
Yeah. The fact that it happened right away against the Vikings in a game where I had a lot on the Vikings. I didn't have a full 2 units down on the Vikings, but I had a lot on them. I had a little bit of money. I had a basically a full unit on the plus three and another half unit on their money line. So I was not sad, but I do feel like we as football fans lose a little bit in terms of you know, the entertainment, you know, that Aaron Rodgers brings, and the from a handicapping perspective, it's so fun to back the Packers in November and December because he gets it done every freaking time, and now we don't have that, which is a real shame.
Yeah. I mean, it's speculation at this point, but I really thought the Vikings were looking – I think they really kind of just – the energy level went down a little after Roger.
How can it not?
The Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings – they took a step back.
Oh, you saw that last night in the NBA when Hayward broke his ankle.
In there.
Yeah.
Maybe not the outright win, but I think they would have kept it within that 3.5.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. The the Saints on the other side of the ball here, they've completely resurrected their season. They looked amazing against the Lions for a good portion of that game. They kind of let down a little bit once the game was well in hand. But they covered the number easily. That was another great win. I think they probably continue their success with the win in Green Bay this week. And my angle on this game is going to be the under.
That line moved 10 points off the
10
sitting at before the Sunday games. Granted, it's not just about the player you lose. It's about who backs him up, you know, who fills in. But that is a huge move for one man.
Yeah.
Which goes to show how important he was to – I don't think Hundley looked terrible.
So the Saints are sitting at 5-point road favorites in Green Bay. That's never in a million years would have expected to see that. I don't think I think the Packers are going to have to completely revise their strategy of how they're going to score points in this game. I think they're going to have to try to play keep away, and the Saints defense is they are pretty decent on the road for whatever reason. They give up massive points at home, but they're pretty good on the road. And I think you see this Packers struggle to kind of get into the 20-point range with Brent Hundley. And if they're playing keep away, trying to limit the number of possessions and run out the clock on this game, then that makes under and my look on this one. So I'm grabbing under 48, expecting to see some type of 24-20 type of final score.
Yeah, you're wrong. No, I have some over 47.5 right now. I love that angle. I like what you're seeing. It makes total sense. I don't think they can do it. You know, you can't have the ball, unless they get some turnover luck, you can't have the ball the whole time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you saw what Keenum and who was the week before for the Packers. I mean, quarterbacks at a much, much lower level than Drew Brees.
Dak Prescott.
That defensive secondary. And they continue to lose players back there. You give Brees the ball four times all game, the Saints score 28. And it's just, I don't know if they, and Kamara.
Boy, yeah, he's good.
They might have found the gem of the draft there. He's looking great.
I will say this.
I really think it's really going to come down to the first couple possessions. If the Saints score two touchdowns in the first two possessions, the game goes well into the 50s. Because then Green Bay is going to have to abandon that game plan. They're going to have to throw the ball. I just see it going that way. I don't think a lot, obviously, of the they've been better. But the defense for New Orleans, you know, they're not catastrophically bad like they've been the past 2 years. But there's still some playmakers in Green Bay. Their running back that's filled in has looked great, the Jones kid. I have it more of like a 31-20, 31-24 game with the Saints. I still think the Saints go up to get it done.
Hmm. So the one other thing I'll add to my under angle, see if I can convince you here.
No, I already bet it.
So Drew Brees and the Saints, they're a different team outdoors and a different team on grass.
It's very true.
And it's Lambeau in the field up there. You know, I don't know what type of weather conditions we're going to see. We'll have to keep an eye on this. But, you know, it's potential that they're going to be a little slower, a little bit more difficulty finding the big plays, which may keep their total points scored into the 24-27 range. really, more than anything, I'm just expecting one of two things: either the Packers to completely deflate and let down and no show, or do reasonably well moving the ball and kind of keep possessions, total possessions down, and get some field goals, and we just see, you know, like you look up in the fourth quarter and you're like, holy smokes, how, you know, every other game is in the middle of the third, and here are the, you know, you got 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter in Green Bay. So that's why I'm looking for the under there. I just think you're going to see a shorter game in general. Let's take a quick break and let's move into the night games here. We're making great time. We got another handful to cover. Great week of football. Great week of football. I'm excited. Okay, back from break. We got an interesting game in London on Sunday morning, Andy. We got the LA Rams making the trip all the way from the west coast of the United States to jolly old England, playing against the Arizona Cardinals. Do you know, is this a Twickenham cricket field game, or is this at Wembley? I think this is at. I'm pretty sure this is at Wembley, but don't at me if I'm wrong.
Fourth one. No, this is Twickenham.
Oh, it is Twickenham.
Rugby.
Okay, interesting. Well, that might be
I can't remember what we're supposed to do. Under.
Yeah. Yes. If the game at Twickenham is played. Yeah, no. If the game's a Twickenham instead, bet the under, stand bet. That was the old child's tale from the sea. The Cardinals, man. Adrian Peterson has life, apparently. That was a surprising performance for them against the Bucks last week. They were in complete control of that game from the go whistle, and maybe they're not as dead and deceased and RIP as everyone suspected. I still don't like them in this spot. I'm backing the Rams. I'm laying 3.5 here because of the travel disadvantage that they're put under. They're gonna be zombies. They're flying late in the week from Arizona to London. That's a terrible organizational decision. I don't know why they did it. The Rams, on the other hand, went from Jacksonville, which was, they came off a big win in Jacksonville. They're the real deal. This team is going to compete for the NFC West title. Absolutely going to compete. Even having lost to the Seahawks, this team is going to compete for the West. And they went directly from Jacksonville to London, so they're going to be completely adjusted to the time. I think they handle the Cardinals. I really do. I love the way that they're matching up. I love that we haven't seen the best of the Rams defense yet either. That defense is still continuing to improve. And I could see a situation play out where the Rams just absolutely smother the Cardinals. So laying 3.5 was no brainer for me. Under is a decent look as well. You got any other thoughts on the Los Angeles's greatest NFL team in a decade?
Yeah, I don't feel like, you know, Arizona didn't completely switch up their whole playbook for Adrian Peterson, but there were different looks when they brought him in. And you got to feel like Tampa was at a little bit of a disadvantage, not knowing how they were going to use them, and it worked.
Yeah.
It worked well, you know, especially in that first half right off the bat. So I think definitely Rams, much better defense. They got a little film about how they've employed Peterson. Peterson's old. I don't know if he has 2 weeks like that.
No.
I haven't decided what I'm playing. I definitely lean Rams just because of the, like you said, the travel spot. What the hell the Cardinals were thinking. That can't be. That's not advantageous at all to do it that way. I don't know why they just. It's like what Miami was.
Yeah.
Singing the Will Smith song there. What they decided to do with. And obviously, you've seen the results.
Yeah, right. Well, so let's move to these afternoon games. Cowboys are going at the Niners. I don't have an angle on this one. I suspect the Cowboys win and cover. I suspect the game goes over, but there's enough question marks. I mean, the Niners are cover machines. They continue to keep games inside a field goal. I cannot believe that the Redskins didn't cover the spread against the Niners last week. That was an absolute – that was such a head-scratching game. I don't know what to make of the Redskins, really, after seeing that. The Cowboys are coming off their bye.
They've had some bad second halves now.
They've had some bad ones.
How they looked in Kansas City,
yep,
too.
Oh, great call. They looked bad in their week one against the Eagles. They were bad in the second half at home. The Cowboys, I don't know what to really expect out of them. There's still all kinds of, you know, weirdness going on with the Zeke Elliott suspension on or off. I guess he is playing.
He's going to play. It's sitting at 6.
Yeah.
And with the Cowboys being such a, you know, they're a better team than the Niners. The Niners are 0-6. The Cowboys are a public team. If this gets bet up and it gets near a 7, I'm probably going to grab the Cowboys just out of the fact that their defense keeps winning games. And
You mean the Niners?
If you find me on a Sunday and there's a 7 sitting out there, I'm gonna be grabbing the Niners.
Okay, that's a reasonable take.
I liked what old Beat Hard was doing there.
Yeah, Beat Hard.
I watched a lot of him. You know, I'm a Big Ten guy with my Gophers, so I watched a lot of him and Beat Hard.
Is it pronounced? Is it pronounced Beat Hard or is it Beathard?
No, it's okay. It's spelled Beat Hard.
Like, I know it's spelled Beat Hard. I know, like, yeah. Well,
it's way more fun to call.
I think Beat Hard might be a legit quarterback. He might actually, you know, be able to amass some wins for the Niners. I don't think it's coming versus the Cowboys because the Cowboys are a better team. But like you said, if you can get a touchdown at home, you know, the Cowboys are not 10 points better than the Niners on a neutral field. There's just no freaking way. So that'll be interesting. Seahawks, Giants. I'm grabbing over 40 here. The Giants, again, you know, talk about the shocking results last week. The Niners covered was shocking. The Dolphins beating the Falcons was absolutely mind-blowing. The Giants beating the Broncos was, like, show-stopping. How in the hell do you get that performance out of your team after your 0-5? You've lost your greatest weapon, and you're on the road against a team who's rested and who's healthy. That was a bizarre game.
I was sitting on that under, and the worst thing you want to see in an under is the double-digit dog scoring a bunch of points right away.
Oh, it's terrible. It's the worst feeling.
It came through. We got lucky that Denver – I was also on Denver from earlier in the week, so I split on the game, thank God, because I'm seeing my, you know, my 10-point favorite up down by, 17 damn points?
Yeah, and they know it.
Burned that ticket. That over-under, 40? Not even.
It wasn't even 40. Yeah, it was 39.
I was thinking it was on 38. So I was sitting there thinking I was double screwed. End up splitting, which worked out. But I don't know what to think of the Giants.
Yeah.
They lost everybody, and then they played great on the road against a rested team. So I'm probably going to stay off this unless I don't know. 40 is not a lot of points.
Yeah.
Like, are you on that over?
Yeah, I grabbed the over here. I'm capping the Seahawks 27, Giants 17. If the Giants can score, then this should go over because the Seahawks, I think, are going to be able to put up points on this Giants defense. To the degree that the Giants win was huge, probably huge for morale, I suppose, in the locker room. Although clearly their reality sets in. You're 1-5, like your season is still over. Great, you got to win, and you know you don't feel like a loser anymore. But I think the Seahawks get it.
11-5.
What's that?
Is this an 11-5 team? The Miracle Giants? You know, and you're right about their defense. They are a defensive line, and that's it.
Yes.
They might get chewed up in the secondary.
Yeah, and, you know, granted, it's not like the Seahawks have a particularly impressive offensive line, but Russell Wilson rested and healthy and mobile. I think he's gonna be able to get whatever kind of points he wants against this Giants team. I like the Seahawks with the extra rest, and I like the fact that the Seahawks, the timing worked out. They're putting them in the afternoon slot, so you're going to get a little bit of the circadian bump for the Seahawks versus, Giants kind of winding down for the day. The Broncos-Chargers, another rematch. So this is the second of three rematches this week. The Chargers, famously, Korean kicker who is no longer rostered, missed. He made the game tying field goal, but then it got taken off the board because he was iced. He missed the second attempt, and they lose the first. They lose the first game. What was the final score in that? 24-21. It went over, right? It went over, and it was a push, if I remember correctly. The Broncos now, they are struggling from a myriad of bizarre injuries. I don't really know what to expect out of the squad. I just know that the Broncos and the Chargers are due for a high-scoring rematch here, as familiar as they are with each other, and as anxious as both teams are going to be to get early points. I think you're going to see a pretty fast-paced, high-flying type of first half, and a score goes over 42 pretty comfortably.
Or at least Denver gets the ball in plus field position. Feels like maybe one of those Rivers throws four picks in the first half games.
Could be. I'm taking over 42 here. It's not a very strong position for me. I'm going to keep an eye on what this total does, and if I can get – if it goes up for whatever reason because people are seeing what I'm seeing and I can try to angle for a middle at 43 or 44, I might go for it. For now, I just think this is a little bit too low for two teams that pretty much just played each other and are very familiar with each other. That said,
that's where I'll be taking Broncos on the road here.
Broncos on the road. Okay. Bounce back.
They're a much better team than they showed. That's a nice bounce back spot. I'm going to probably just take them on the money line at $1.20 or wherever they end up at. Okay.
All right.
I haven't bet it yet. Yeah. I don't love anything about the Chargers.
Mm. So I don't, I'm with you. I can't pick a side here. Sunday Night Football. Falcons Patriots rematch of the Super Bowl. Two teams.
That's gonna be so annoying.
Oh, so, yes.
They're gonna rehash that, and I was on the right side of it even. But man, if you had the Falcons or the under or any sort of Falcons second half under, this game's gonna be just awful to watch.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna go over that a million times.
Absolutely, and you know,
I don't even want to see it.
And I think the Falcons can get out and score early, and I think the Patriots are going to be able to answer. I think we see a back-and-forth, high-scoring game that goes well over the total. Did you see this total? 55?
Yeah.
I packed it. I'm over on this puppy. I'm looking for 60 points in this game. The Patriots' defense has been playing better the last couple weeks. I still think they're frauds, and we still have yet to see them keep a team under 30 at home. They gave up a million points to the Chiefs. They gave up a million points to the Texans. They gave up a million points to the Panthers. Falcons, I think, get theirs this week. And the Patriots, I believe, will answer. I really wanted to back the Falcons in this one. This is like a mega super revenge spot. But I just – Patriots are just getting it done. They're getting the wins. The line's a little short. I wanted to see something like Falcons 6 or so, and it's a little too short. So instead of taking the Falcons, I'm grabbing the over here. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Falcons win.
But, you know, it is a road game, a cold weather city, but, I mean, it's not that cold up there yet. But this is field turf.
Yeah,
it is a fast, fast stadium with this new turf. So I definitely see the Falcons coming out and getting on the board quite a bit. They should, 28-31 points. I can see both teams getting up there. Both defenses aren't great, especially the Patriots.
Yeah,
this could be a huge, a big win for the Falcons. They could go up there and just lay a fucking 40 burger on them.
Ugh. Well,
that'd be nice.
I'm prepared for it, and I'm grabbing the over here. I'm still trying to figure out this Patriots defense and how bad they really are, and there's some correlation between them playing poorly on that home turf.
They're terrible at home.
They're terrible, the defense especially, but their offense is clicking, and their offense is reasonably healthy. Tom Brady is finding Gronk in perfect situations. It's making me pretty stoked.
Gronk staying healthy.
He's kind of played for them. Yeah, he wasn't in great game shape to start the season. He was a little light. He was a little soft. He's kind of come into form a little bit. He was a monster against the Jets. That was pretty fun to watch. So, Patriots, Falcons, both teams score 30. This goes over 55, and we have a nice nightcap for Sunday Night Football. Good little Super Bowl rematch. They need their due, too.
I think I'm just going to back Atlanta straight up.
I probably will also.
New England lost. I mean, essentially, they lost all three of their home games. Let's just call that Houston a loss.
Yes.
Because 36-33 at home against a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
That's as good as a loss. I'm going to say Atlanta upset, plus 170 right now.
All I know is that if it's the third quarter and the Falcons look like they're in complete control of the game, and there's seemingly no chance the Patriots come back, just do yourself a favor and grab a little insurance on Patriots money line just in case. So Monday night's game, I'm gonna back the Eagles in this one. I think the Eagles are for real. I don't know what to make of the Redskins. Obviously, they won last week, but they should have won much more comfortably. That was a very close game at the end. And they're looking for revenge against the Eagles. I don't think they get this revenge. I think the Eagles at home in prime time put the Redskins in their place and continue their stranglehold on the top spot in the NFC. So that rounds out my card. I got 11 plays out there. So far, no two-unit plays, although I'm smelling a Miami two-unit here before we get to the weekend. So with that.
Without even knowing the lines, we are on – what was the Monday night game again? I totally forgot how they played. Oh, I'm on a two-team open parlay, Eagles second half, and I'm looking now Jaguars second half.
Nice.
Just the Colts and Redskins so bad in the second half. I'm just gonna put it out there now. Gonna play them both. Put them together. 3-1. Cash it already.
Well done. All right, Andy. Great pod. Thanks for hanging in here. Super glad we did not have any technical issues. This turned out really well. Hopefully the audio quality is okay. And hopefully my internet is good enough to get this uploaded to the web so all the people can appreciate all our gems, all of our drops of wisdom. And good luck this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, you too. And hopefully good luck getting out of Canada.
I know, right? USA.
Are you gonna have to watch football? Are you gonna have it on TV up there? Stream it, or are you watching the Rough Riders game?
Yeah, no, they have. It's easier to watch football. Or it has been easier to watch here than it is even at home. I just, it's on everywhere.
Okay, good.
Yep. All right, man.
All right. Hey. Thanks. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Good luck this week.
Yep.
Bye.